All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the National Conference Call. My name is Lane Winsett. I'm a national consultant with Ambit Energy. I'm your host tonight. We do appreciate you joining the call. One of the things that we're excited about is the fact that we have one of the greatest speakers, trainers, and motivators in our company to really share some insights and some information that'll really measurably help your Ambit business. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our speaker, Mr. Maksud Nir. Are you on the line, sir?
Lane, how are you, sir? I'm very much on the line. Thank you very much. What an awesome honor, ladies and gentlemen, to be on a call with Mr. Lane Winsett. It's incredible, sir. It's incredible that you are even introducing me, sir. So I apologize for my giddiness, but listen, guys, I've always loved this gentleman, and as soon as I ever spoke to him in person, I was thrilled the knowledge that this gentleman has possessed. More people can learn so much about Ambit Energy and network marketing in general just by within 15 minutes talking to Lane Winsett. So thank you very much, Lane.
Well, thank you so much. And I know a lot of times people know you as Mir instead of your first name, Maksud. So I'm going to call you Mir if that's okay. And I want to also introduce you as a Millionaire Club member. That means you're a Yellow Jacket contender. And you also have been promoted, and you are a national consultant, which is at the top of the food chain with regards to our compensation plan and our leadership ladder. So I appreciate what you've done both for the company, the field, and the success that we've been able to accomplish over the years, and it's attributed to people like yourself, Mir. So could you do me a favor, Mir, and just kind of share a little bit of background before we get into the training about yourself, and anything you'd like to share would be extremely helpful to kind of introduce yourself to people that may not know who you are on the call tonight.
Definitely, sir. So most of you guys know my name is Mir, or Maksud Mir. You know, I've been in Missouri for pretty much majority of my life. I've been in Missouri. So I started Ambit Energy in 2013 just by happenstance almost. And a gentleman who was working for me in my newspaper invited me to take a look at this presentation. I went to Quincy, Illinois, and I saw a gentleman named Danny Kirby present and Clint Hummel. Clint was an executive consultant at that time. Danny was, of course, a national consultant. Saw them present, and Danny was wearing a yellow jacket. So what interested me most was that, you know, I didn't know what the path was to getting that yellow jacket and why was he wearing a jacket there. And that designation, I was very interested in that. So, you know, needless to say, I joined the business there after about 8 months. I delayed a little bit of time, but I joined the business, and the rest is history. So Ambit has entirely changed my life. You know, today we've gotten thousands and thousands of consultants and customers in the business there. I still live in a non-deregulated state, but majority of my business is in Illinois and some parts of Texas, of course, and then, you know, some other states. So we have consultants all over the U.S. that's helping us grow this business.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for that. I know that me and you got an opportunity the other day to kind of visit and really talk a little bit about, you know, some of the topics that we wanted to visit with everybody on this call. And the subject came up of the importance of, you know, just a day-to-day routine of how important it is with regards to a regimen of habits. And that ultimately is something I think we all have a challenge with. And time management, as you know, is a real critical factor. I mean, we're all, you know, kind of running around trying to figure out, you know, how in the world do we fit our business and our life and kids and our work. You know, a lot of us, people that are not full-time like myself and yourself, are working an extra job. And so maybe you can elaborate and share with us a little bit about what you have developed as a regimen or a schedule of habits that have helped you achieve the measurable success that you have accomplished in your business with Ambit Energy.
Thank you, Lane. Lane, I do want to talk about, you know, the reason why we become successful. There are certain qualities that you have to develop, you know, to become successful, whether it's in network marketing or in any field of life. And actually, one of the best qualities that I've learned from different people is it's the most important quality to me to become successful. It's without fail, it's the discipline. It's like self-discipline. And discipline is like the greatest secret to success. You know, most people who have become disciplined over time, they'll understand that that is the reason why they become successful, why they can achieve the goals there. So I'll touch bases on a few things as we go along here, but I want to talk about, you know, this special quality that we develop. It's extremely attainable. You know, most anybody, when they come out of their mother's womb, they're not disciplined. They're not understanding that part. Then until, you know, you become an adult or a young adult, you don't understand the real benefits of discipline. We understand sometimes when we go to college or when we're in high school, we have to accomplish tasks for the teachers give you homework and we finish tasks and that kind of programs us in a way to become disciplined. And discipline in completing a task is extremely important in your adulthood. So I learned that, you know, a lot of it from my father, who taught me to be disciplined in my tasks. And he says, you know, don't step on multiple boats, be disciplined yourself to accomplish something, finish something. So whenever you're starting something, a project or work or a goal, you stick with it. So there are thousands of principles of success, and I don't want to go into all of that, but over the ages, you'll see that the practice of discipline and its self-discipline will accomplish the most wonderful things in your life. This quality is so important that if you don't develop a high degree of discipline, it would be almost impossible for you to achieve stuff, to achieve your goals. And the goals, whether they're small or large, you know, it requires an amount of discipline. And I'm talking about the discipline becoming a habit. You know, that habit is what makes people successful. The highly disciplined people also have these highly disciplined habits that form. And for me, I learned to become more disciplined. I was not disciplined in my early life. I wish I was, but I became a little more disciplined, a little more habit forming. So a few of the habits, I'm going to elaborate on that to you guys. Like today, what I do are totally different than what my habits were in my early 20s. Yeah. So you can evolve. You can become more disciplined. You can become highly habit forming.
Part of discipline is just being on the call, right? Being on this call.
People are disciplined here at 9 p.m. on Sunday night. They jumped on a call, so that's very disciplined. And I tell people that regimen sets them apart. That if you want to look at anybody's success, you look at Lane. Lane has a regimen, and you look at the Steve Thompson. He has a regimen. Every one of these successful men and women in our business, they have a regimen. So they follow a certain order of things. And the regimen is nothing other than simple tasks that you do on a regular basis that gets you to greater goals and accomplishing that goals. So one thing that I tell you that I do myself is that first 30 minutes of the day, that as soon as your feet hits the ground, you know, when you get up in the morning, and first 30 minutes, that's your most, I should say, receptive time of your mind. So anything that you put in your mind at that time, you should be able to connect to your subconscious level. You should be able to connect it because you have not cluttered your mind up with the day-to-day stuff, day-to-day ongoings yet. So that first 30 minutes, you know, most people tell you to pray or to meditate. So I do my prayers in the morning, and then I also do some meditation and want to accomplish the things that I want to set out for that day. I have a list already that I'll talk to you about in just a second. That list was formulated the night before. So the 30 minutes in the morning is my routine, is that 30 minutes. I don't do much else. I don't really talk to anybody at that time. I don't call people at 7 a.m. in the morning. And network marketers normally don't tend to call people at 7 in the morning. They wait till about 9, 10 o'clock. But so I don't take that time to make immediate phone calls to them. I will return some phone calls after that. But that 30 minutes is my time where I am disciplined to connect with God or connect whoever you are connecting with. And then also setting the parameters for that day there. Those parameters were set for me the night before. So the other time of the day that is highly mine is the 30 minutes before going to sleep, you know, before I retire for the night, before, and sometimes it's late at night, and, you know, I drive a lot all over Illinois and come back late. And that 30 minutes of decompression before I go to bed, that's when I make a list. That's when I make my to-do list. You know, most of the people make a to-do list like 7 days in advance or 14 days in advance. I'm making the next day's list that night. So it's very fresh in my mind, and I go to bed with that plan. When I go to bed, you know, some of those things in the list that's not clear to me, or maybe I don't have a defined path to achieving those things there that day, and I don't put too many tasks on. I put about 6 tasks. That's about it. You know, I highly prioritize the tasks that I need to do, and 6 tasks that I must accomplish or must do. And I learned this from John Maxwell a long time ago. He talks about, it's called the 6-whack principle. So you take 6 whacks at a tree. If you're going to cut down a big oak, you take 6 whacks with a sharp axe, and then you lay your axe down. And next day you get up in the morning, and then you sharpen that axe again, and you take 6 more whacks at it. So ultimately, that big oak that you thought that it's impossible to get down, it will come down over time if you follow the 6-whack principle.
Yes. One of the things you there, you know, with regards, I kind of look at it, what I call the wheel of life. Okay. You have basically what, if you drew a circle on a piece of paper, you know, and you put you in the center of that circle, like a circle within a circle, and you drew you in there. And I know we're on a phone, so you're not seeing a visual from a blackboard or anything. But if you took at the top of that circle and you wrote the word God, right, and then next to it, like almost like a clock going around, you wrote family, and then you wrote financial, and you wrote physical, and you wrote education, and you wrote social, and you wrote recreational, and you put them all around that circle, the wheel of life that you roll down really determines on kind of how people ultimately what happens in their life. And let me give you an example. You got people who get unbalanced, where, you know, you have a tire that maybe has that's unbalanced, it wobbles or it makes a noise or it doesn't roll down the road very good. And so the key here, from what I hear you telling me and what I'm kind of sharing with everybody, is to get this balance in our life, which is it's not easy. It's something we have to first get the understanding of how all of these different areas of our life actually affect the other one. As an example, you got the weightlifter, right, who pumps iron all the time, but he's got a pea brain, you know, or you got the guy who is a, you know, a bookworm, but he's got an atrophied body. And so, you know, the goal is in these 7 areas of your life, I call them the spiritual, is your relationship with God, because that's kind of your anchor, right? In other words, that's what anchors you. And then you have, of course, your family, or both your tight inner core family, and then your extended family, and then friends out of that. And then, of course, you have your financial goals or your income, your job, so to speak. And you have your physical, which is your health, whether it be exercise or your diet. And then, of course, you have your knowledge or education. Why are we on the phone tonight? We're on the phone tonight to broaden our education and our knowledge. We're expanding that goal. We're setting the goal by being on this call. That's a certain discipline that you've set of saying, hey, this is something, an area that I'm going to make sure that I'm on these calls on Sunday night in order to get that manna, so to speak, of knowledge that'll help me in my business. And then, of course, the social goals, which are those of the where you're putting things back into the community, as an example, clubs, organizations, things that you're doing to kind of reap what you sow. In other words, the law of reciprocal, where you're putting things out in the community, whether it be your church or an organization or some type of group that you want to be supportive of. And then, of course, your recreational. That's where you're going to go out and lay on your back sometime and maybe see the stars and, you know, really realize the universe that we're in. So when you start to look at all of those different things, you have to have discipline in order to pray, in order to spend time with your family, in order to, you know, set goals within your financial life, within your physical life of saying, hey, I'm going to exercise a little bit just by walking, so to speak. It doesn't have to be, you know, going to the gym and working yourself to death. It can just be walking. So the thing I want to pass the ball back to you, Mayor, is that, you know, it's about, like you said, taking the forest out one bite at a time. You remember that song, Oops, There Goes Another Rubber Tree Plant. It's not about chopping it all down. It's about setting bite-sized munchkin goals in each one of those different areas of your life. And then in order to do that, you're going to find a balance there, which I think will be much more helpful when you get that 30,000-foot view of life coming down. So that way you know, hey, and each one of these things is going to affect how you deal with life. In other words, if you're having family problems, or you know, you got involved with network marketing and your spouse is not supportive of you and your business, well, you're going to have problems in your ambit business. So you have to have kind of a corporate meeting with the family even before you start sometimes, and sit down and say, hey, you know, this is the time commitment. This is what we want to do. But here's the value that the family's going to receive, you know, if we hit certain goals and we accomplish, you know, the goals that I think, or the family thinks that that we can do by. So, yeah, we're going to spend a little time away, but we're going to get to spend more time later on. We're going to benefit from the financial ability of it. I'm sorry for talking so long, but I wanted to kind of let you expand on what I've shared there.
Yes, sir. Lane, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, when you said the bite-sized goals, I mean, that's basically what we do in network marketing. We become a product of the bite-sized goals. You know, we're not going to recruit 100 consultants in one day, or, you know, 1,000 customers in one day. It's not going to happen. It's that marathon run that we run over a period of time. So you're absolutely right on that, sir, because you have done that yourself over several years that you've been in the business with Excel and with Ambit. You know, you build a massive, massive organization. But it's those little goals. And I do this on a regular basis. This is something that you guys can do, you know, whether it's the early part of the year. I don't set New Year's goals. I don't set the New Year's resolutions, guys. I do my New Year's planning in November of the prior year. So last November, I wrote down 100 things that it's kind of like your own bucket list that you can go say 100 things that you want to achieve within the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And you can make them lofty, but, you know, some of them are very lofty. Some of them, you know, the 10-year goal is quite lofty for me, and then the 5-year goal is quite lofty also. But here's the thing. Just like Lane said that you're looking at 7 different aspects of your life. You're looking at, of course, your family, your money, your health. You know, health has become suddenly more important for me right now. Before, I didn't used to consider that very much, and I would go against my health and you know, work as much as I can. And then the career goals, and then also and the education goals for some of you who are paying for college tuition for children. That's become a very important thing for me too also. So I look at the next 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years, and I write down those goals there. And then when you look at that's 100, list of 100. So how do you accomplish that list of 100? It's like an elephant. You don't eat it in one bite. You have to take off small bites at a time. So that list of 100 has to be narrowed down. So if you're clear about your goals, you're going to narrow that list down to 10 achievable things that you're going to achieve within the next 1 year's time frame, the next 6 months time frame, whatever your time frame is. Sometimes I've made the mistake of making those big lofty goals in that 1 year, and I didn't have the skills necessary. And that's primarily what it is, the skills, the adversity or the obstacles that I have to overcome to get those goals done. I did not possess the skills. So a lot of those goals there that did not get accomplished, it was primarily because they were too lofty for my skills to match. There's something called flow in our life. Flow is where your adversity and your skills match, or your adversity and your level of skills match. If you increase your level of skills, your adversity will be covered. You'll go overcome the obstacles. You'll be able to achieve that. So some people who have high skill level, or they can increase their skill level, that goal, it becomes very achievable for them. So these things I didn't understand in the beginning, Lane. I thought, okay, since I'm young and I can go strong and I can go faster, or I can do this. It's not about how fast you go. It's also about developing the skills to achieve those goals. And the skill development is an incremental thing. It does not happen in one day. So I was not able to recruit anybody for 84 days in Ambit Energy. So I'm sorry, in 4 months, and I went to 84 people. 84 people I showed the business to. I presented the opportunity, and I never got one person to say yes to me. So it took me 4 months before I could have one person say yes to me. I thought, okay, I have a great list, and I'm going to work that list, and I'm going to talk to as many people as I can. But I could not get them to say yes because I didn't follow a system. And the system, I learned by failure. I didn't listen to my upline. I didn't listen to someone like Lane or someone else that taught me. And even though I went through Ambit University and went through a lot of training, I just did not submit to the system there. So that skill development is very important in achieving the goals there. So if you're clear about your goals, and if you set the priorities and go through that list of 100 that you'll make, 100 things that you want to achieve in the next 3, 5, and 10 years, time frame, narrow it down to 10 items that you must do, 10 things that you, and you do it on a separate piece of paper. I do the one list on one piece of paper, and then the other list I prioritize, and then I do it on a separate piece of paper. I have both of those papers with me. I have both of those papers that I refer back to. But to accomplish those 10 becomes non-negotiable. Okay. And that's where it changes entirely. You know, you'll be ahead of 97%. If you just write your goals down, you'll be ahead of 97% of Americans who do not write goals down. We live in a society where of instant gratification, and we don't write goals down. Lane, go ahead.
Right. You know, and back to the fact that discipline, which is really what is the key, nothing happens without discipline. Let's go ahead and admit it. You know, we can set goals so the cows come home. We can write things down. We can do all kinds of, get our calendar out and do all that stuff. But ultimately, it comes down to where the rubber meets the road is taking action and you know, actually physically doing, whatever it is that you've set your goals for. And so going back through these, you know, just as kind of an example to leave somebody tonight with some ideas that have helped me back to the bite-sized munchkin goals that are accomplishable that you should easily be able to achieve. The spiritual goal, I think one of the goals that's an easy goal for you to write down if you're writing stuff down tonight or you'd like to maybe use some of these ideas is to pray over your food. I make it a habit whether I'm in a restaurant or if Debbie and I are where we're at, we always say grace, you know, over our food, and we pray over our food. That's an easy, simple thing that you can do in a spiritual nature. No matter what your, faith is, accomplish and achieve a goal of thanking God for the blessings that you have. And number two, family. Set a goal to just tell the people that are closest to you every day that you love them. I mean, that is so important, you know, just a simple, hey, I love you, you know, but you could check it off that day. Financial, I look at that on two different levels. One, if you save $1 a day over a year, you got $365 at the end of the year. But if you save 10 bucks a day, you'd have $3,650. And so if somehow or another, when you get paid, you can say, okay, I'm going to put $10 away or $300 a month, however you want to divide it up, at the end of the year, you're going to have that $3,650 to be able to help you accomplish other goals that you've set for yourself. And then, of course, physical and health, that kind of goes together back to walking. You know, you don't have to be a sprint runner. You don't have to be a weightlifter. But statistically, you know, it shows that those of people that walk, just walk, is going to make you a tremendously healthier. Or if you're capable of starting and doing squats. I saw an article just recently, which I've really started to do now. You know, people that are getting up that in age like myself, baby boomer, I'll be 70 in 2 years, for God's sake, 68. I'm 68 now. You don't think about it, but it's if you can just start to grab a hold of some furniture and gradually build up doing just leg squats as low as you can and then work your way up to where you develop those muscles. Most of the people that have problems later in life in age end up falling and breaking their hip when they don't have the muscles in their legs, and they could just be doing that by just doing a couple of squats, a set of 10 squats a day, and then work your way up to two sets and maybe three sets of squats, which I know that sounds crazy, but hey, it's a little bit over time that really makes the difference. And then, of course, your education or knowledge, you know, and of course, physical, let me go back to health real quick. That's once again, I'm a sugar addict. I don't know what it is about sweet stuff, but boy, I tell you what, I like Shipley's donuts. I like to eat, you know, anything that's sweet. Debbie has to slap my wrist and keep me from, you know, grabbing something. And so it's a real discipline that I have to have at the end of a meal or wherever I'm at to just not eat sugar. And I've seen the improvement. I've seen the improvement with me not eating as much white bread and not eating as much sugar in my diet. It's helped me out tremendously. And then with a little bit of exercise, that and together, that synergy has really helped health-wise. Education and knowledge, you know, let's think about that for a second. You know, you're either green or growing or ripe or rotten. You've heard that before. Well, in today's world, with all of the podcasts and the recordings and the things you can get on your smartphone, where you can listen to, you know, Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, Norman Vincent Peale, W. Clement Stone, you know, all of the big dogs, as you'd say, in the motivational, inspirational, and personal growth development, Paul J. Meyer, Connie Podesta, I mean, Les Brown, there's all different types of people that you can listen to internalize through space repetition, internalization of information, hearing, seeing, doing over and over and over again to gain the knowledge that you need over time while you're exercising, while you're getting groomed, while you're driving. And those are little bitty bite-sized munchkin goals, once again, including going to your power zone in the back office and plugging into all of the different conference calls that we have done, which are readily available for you there in your back office to listen to. And that's where you're directly feeding and getting intravenial information into your brain to help you measurably change your business and become more successful in Ambered Energy. Getting down to your social goals, what's a social goal? That's just where you can go out maybe and volunteer or become part of an organization. Might be the Lions Club, could be the some cancer society, could be for autism, could be breast cancer. I don't know, whatever interests you, go join some organization. I don't care if it's canoeing, for God's sakes. What's going to happen? You're going to meet people. You're going to give back to the community. You're going to have lots more prospects than you ever dreamed about because you put yourself in an environment where you can now fish with dynamite and have a lot of people there instead of fishing with a worm that you're exposed to that are open and receptive to your message because you have like-minded people, birds of a feather flock together. So set a goal to become part of multiple organizations if you can, depending on your time management, and you'll find you'll never run out of prospects. Recreational, this is the tough one. This is where you have to block out time physically to say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to get off and I'm going to get by myself with my family or by yourself or whoever, your significant other, your spouse, and just spend some quality time out in nature and understand that, you know, what has God given us, you know, just a beautiful earth and universe, and get back to understanding, you know, just what your part and place is in the universe, and that will also help tremendously. So those are little bite-sized munchkin goals that you can do, but you can expand on that. You can take and set up your dreams list and set up your goals list and set up your dream board to even go in more crystallization as far as what you want to visualize your life to be. Remember, you know, you're like a GPS coordinates. You can set the GPS coordinates to wherever you want to be in life, but it's up to you. Nobody else sets the coordinates for you. You're the one who sets it. And don't let other people set it for you, okay? It's your prerogative and your ability to set those GPS coordinates, and it's also your ability to change them. So you may be headed in a direction where you have to make a change, and that's why it's so important that you spend quality time with a piece of paper and a pencil, the old-fashioned pen and paper, and write out some specific dreams, goals, and aspirations that you have, just like Mir has talked about over the years and what you plan on doing, and then let that manifest to where you really crystallize your thinking, and then from there take the discipline and the action steps now to bring that to fruition. Back to you, Mir.
Yes, sir. This is absolutely right, sir. What you just said about that regimen, that Sunday night regimen, I'll just give you a quick idea about what has happened to me over the years with just this Sunday night call. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sunday night call has been my regimen for 13 years, going on 13 years right now. You know what the Sunday night call does for me is it grounds me to the point that I'm going to be doing AMBIT tomorrow on Monday, and I have to meet with some people. I have to do some presentations, or I have to show the business to somebody, or get some clients or customers into our business. Okay, so there are some necessary skills that I learn. So when Brian was running this call, when actually Bear Gordon, some of you guys remember Bear Gordon, when I started the business, Bear was running the calls there every Sunday night. And no matter what was going on in my life at that time, whether it was lunch or dinner at that time, you know, my wife was making dinner and stuff, and guess what? I could not attend, or I would get up from the dinner or have my Sunday night call on while I'm at the dinner table. Okay. Sometimes it's annoying for the rest of the family to be listening in the call that I'm listening to, but I needed that. I needed, just like you guys need this call, guys, every Sunday night was a point where I disciplined myself to get on for that 30 minutes, 45 minutes. That was my knowledge that I needed to input. So what Lane just talked about, that input of knowledge there, that input of knowledge never goes away. If you go away, like you're never too right, you understand, you're never too right in this business. This gentleman has probably forgotten more about network marketing, and I guarantee you that he has probably forgotten more about network marketing than you and I will ever learn about network marketing. And I'm true to the fact here, guys, listen, because what he's talking about is that getting that input on a daily basis, on learning that, and keeping yourself green. So throughout history, people who have achieved anything or lasting, worthwhile success, they have engaged in a pursuit for unprecedented hours. Okay, they didn't count the days. They didn't count the weeks. They didn't even count sometimes the years that was necessary in that concentrated discipline of in a certain particular direction. Okay, so our direction in this business is to achieve, you know, levels of success, go from marketing to regional to senior to executive to national. So it's a concentrated way of success, guys. So we have to do that part there on a regular basis. So sometimes it might take you 4 months to become a regional. Sometimes it might take you 6 months to become a senior consultant. But be as it may be, the 6 months, but within that 6 months time frame, the knowledge that you learned on a daily input basis, the knowledge that you learn from someone like Lane there was a wonderful call last week there, or the week before last week, and then also from someone like Rose and Kevin. They have so much knowledge there. You're learning from these guys there on a regular basis. That learning has a compound effect, guys. And that compound effect will give you courage, guys, because what will happen is that ultimately that courage happened to me. In the beginning, there was no courage for me doing the business. I had never done network marketing. I had never done anything like this before. I'm a traditional businessman, brick and mortar businessman. Why would I do network marketing? And I did not understand anything about how to go recruit somebody to bring them into a business. And also that knowledge there ultimately compounded to the point where I had the confidence to go out and show the plan. So give yourself that time. You know, you might have to be on this call for for the next 4 months, 5 months before you become a senior consultant. Give yourself that time. You learn a lot more because guess what? Every time, every Sunday night that you're investing, every Sunday night that you're learning, it's going to compound and grow and compound and grow. So the quality of this call, the self-discipline that you go through to putting yourself in a learning atmosphere, it's going to have its effect. You'll suddenly have mastery. And then when that mastery happens, oh, my God, it's unbelievable, guys. You will master this. I tell you that because I've gone through business, because you will be disciplined enough to keep on going and going and going for a while, and suddenly you will have mastery. When you have mastery of a subject, it might be that 10,000 hours later that you'll have mastery. Okay, but are you willing to give that 10,000 hours? Are you willing to give that 365 days? They say it takes about 6 years for someone to go organically in network marketing where they flourish, where they become a six, seven-figure earner on a regular basis. Are you willing to give yourself that? Go ahead, Lynn.
Yes. Let's shift gears here. We're a get-rich-slow business. We're not a get-rich-quick business. Most get-rich-quick businesses that I've ever run across are not in business anymore. And so let's shift gears, if we could, because I do want to leave everybody with something as well that will help them in their business. I know that there's people that are on the call that have, your warm market list, of course, continually expands, and you need to squeeze the lemon on your warm market list. But I think a lot of times what happens is people get to the point to where they just don't have any fresh blood. They don't feel like they have a lot of fresh blood. And I know that in their business, and I know, Mir, you have done a lot of prospecting. I want to cover a couple of ideas that I want to share with them, and then you can maybe elaborate on your thoughts. Prospecting is the lifeblood of selling. Okay, there's a saying, I'd rather be a master prospector than a wizard of speech and have no one to tell my story to. Now, what does that mean? That means that you can be the world's greatest salesperson, but if you're not talking to anybody, you're not selling anything. So, unlike a lot of businesses, we don't have a retail shop. We're not a brick and mortar store. I mean, we're in the people business, and we have to understand that the commodity, if you will, of our business is our ability to break the ice, make a friend, find common ground, and to sort through this sea of people out there that are potential candidates for our business. And not everybody is a candidate, believe me. You know that through your own experience, okay? So the goal is by having discipline to have the ability to say, okay, I need to make sure that I learn what is called an approach. An approach is so critical in your business to allow you to become a good fisher person, a fisherman of men, if you will, like the Bible, teach a man to fish, feeding for life. And so what I want to do, and I know what Mir wants to do, is we want to teach you how to fish where you feel comfortable going out and talking and pressing the flesh, so to speak, out there in the world and being successful sorting through these massive amounts of people out there to bring the right type of people into your organization. And in doing so, there's a couple of things I'd like to share. Number one, you want to be able to have and identify what I call the personality characteristic traits that you're looking for in a prospect. Now, keep in mind that all of these personality characteristic traits are not everybody has them, okay? But if they just have one of these, or two of these, it's really great. The first and foremost is that they're money motivated. Money motivated, and I don't mean greed motivated. I don't mean Wall Street motivated. I mean money motivated, meaning they want to make some cash, the narrow moolah, gitas. They want to make some money, and they're certain people who have a DNA about them that are just fired up and excited about making money, believe it or not. Number two, that they're goal-directed, meaning that they have and want to be able to accomplish some goals. Number three, they have a burning desire to succeed. In other words, they want to be successful. They want to taste that wine of success in their life. Number four, they have a strong, positive center of influence. In other words, they these people already have a center of influence that you can tap into like a gold vein, if you will. And that can be, in this business, one of the most powerful things that you can do when you tap into somebody's positive center of influence. A lot of people have negative centers of influence, but when you tap into a person who has a strong vein, a positive sphere of influence, remember, birds of a feather flock together. Firemen hang with firemen, right? Attorneys hang with attorneys. They have this grouping of people who speak the same language. Nurses, RNs, no RNs. Doctors, no doctors. So keep that in mind. And the last personality characteristic trait of what you're looking for when you're out there prospecting is what I call the glow, just like we talk about Rose Duncan having the glow and lots of other people that have the glow. It's just that outgoing, expressive, on fire type of zing about them, that when they come into a room, they just light the room up and you don't know, what they're selling, but you want a piece of it. So now you're not going to get all of that in one person necessarily, but you need to have your tentacles out like an AWACS airplane to always be out there searching, looking, thinking, watching, and be on all the time to look for those personalities. So the next thing you need to do, that's now you've identified the personality characteristic traits that you're looking for. So now what you're looking for is to learn an effective approach that you're comfortable with. Now, what is an approach? Approach is your fishing rod. It's your bait. It's how you cast your bait out there and pop the cork a couple of times to allow the right type of fish. I call it a blue marlin. For you to catch the that's a different kind of fishing. That's deep sea fishing. But I'm not going to get bogged down here. But my point is, you get it. You get the point. In other words, you've taken kids out fishing before for the first time, and they've gotten backlash, right? In other words, they've cast it out there, and you spend half of the day fishing, undoing their line because they've got it all tangled up and everything. It's because they didn't learn, and they've not learned yet how to cast that rod to pop that, land that bait on the side of the bank and pop the cork just right. Now, what does that come by? It comes the same way as a basketball player throwing a hoop, right? Or a baseball player hitting a ball, or a tennis player making a serve, okay, through a process called space repetition, internalization of information, hearing, seeing, and doing an activity, a physical activity, over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes a reflex of thought. And that means that the conscious mind now has, through repetition, burned it in your hard drive, which is your subconscious mind, to where you don't even think about it. It's a reflexive thought. That's why they do that in the military, right? The military is really good at teaching, soldiers how to load their gun and how to make sure their gun is not jammed during a crisis situation if they're in a field of battle. So what we want to do is come up with an approach that just rolls off of your tongue, that you feel very comfortable with. It's almost like Jesse James pulling out his gun, and every time you pick up on somebody that you think might have some of these personality characteristic traits, that you can then use your approach, which that way they can just drop you out of an airplane in any market, anywhere, any place, and you know automatically you've got this talent and ability to prospect people. Up in the morning and go, what am I going to do today? I wished I had some people. I don't know nobody. Not anymore. You don't have any excuses anymore after tonight, because what you're going to do is learn a simple, easy, duplicable approach that is very simple. And here's the approach I'm going to give you that I've trained and taught people over for years around thousands and thousands of people have been successful. And it's as simple as, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? When you talk to somebody, you break the ice. Hey, wow, those sure look like a nice pair of boots you got on there, sir. If you don't mind me asking, you sure look like a successful person. Do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? Now, as crazy as that might sound to you right now, what I'm looking for, remember, the number one personality characteristic trait was what? Money-motivated. And if I ask that question to a money-motivated person, you're going to get one of three question or answers back. Yeah, what you got? Or no, I'm not interested, or money motivated. You're damn right I'm money motivated. What you talking about? So which one am I looking for? I'm not looking for the maybe. I'm not looking for the no. I'm looking for the person who responds back And so I'm going to be quiet when I ask that question. You're going to feel uncomfortable asking that question in the beginning. You're going to go like this. Do you consider yourself a money motivated person? You're going to stumble over it because you're going to miss the basket. You're going to get your rod all backlashed from trying to cast. But pretty soon, you're going to get to where it rolls off your tongue. And when you ask that question, hey, sir, boy, those are some nice looking boots. Are those alligators? Wow, you sure look like a successful person. If you don't mind me asking, do you consider yourself a money motivated person? And then you look at them and you shut up. You stop talking, okay? You wait and watch their body language. You listen to their voice inflection. You look at their eyes, okay? And what you're looking for is what the true reflection or the true reaction that you're getting back. Now, if they come back and say, money motivated, you're doggone right, I'm money motivated. What are you talking about? Well, you don't have time to spill your lobby popcorn in the lobby in the picture show. It's not your job. Okay, to be able to, sell them right there. You don't have the tools to sell them. Your job is to do nothing but what? Break the ice, make a friend, find common ground, document, get their information, and then eventually put them in front of what? The very thing that we do. What do? We sell the story. We tell the story. We show the story. Now, we have many different ways to do that, right? We have videos, audios, company overviews, three-way calls, conference calls, Zoom calls, business overviews. We have impending events, national events. I mean, we have all different types of ways to get that prospect in front of the story. And however you want to get them in front of the story is up to you. Normally, it would be using your app on your phone. But what your goal is to exchange information with that prospect and leave them with this. You want them to leave. You want to leave them with the fact that when they go home and talk to their wife or their husband at the end of the day and they're at dinner and they go, you know what, I met this person today. I tell you what, unbelievable person, just the nicest person you ever want to meet. And they asked me if I was money motivated. I told them yes, and I exchanged information with him. So he's going to text me. Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm getting a text right now. And send up and follow up and send a text to them. Have them go to your app on your phone, send them the video, and then follow up with that individual to then get set up a time that you can break the ice, make the friend, find it. Remember, first time you meet them, they're a stranger. Second time you meet them, they're a friend. The third time that you meet them, hopefully you have, the first time they're a stranger, second time acquaintance, third time a friend. So now, why am I telling you all this tonight? Okay. Because all of the stuff that we talked about in prospecting or that you'll ever hear in prospecting or making a list or all that other stuff is that people get off the freeway out in the cow pasture where the cow patties are at, and they don't ever learn how to have an effective approach that gives them the ammunition, the bullets that they need to go out every day and get new prospects. Now, the next thing I'm going to share with you, by having discipline, going old school here, okay, and that's getting you some 3x5, the old-fashioned white 3x5 cards. Put them in your purse, put them in your pocket, put them in your jack pocket, you know, and learn to be able to write people's information down. If you pull out a business card or something like that, you might scare them. Nope, not a problem if you give them a business card. But remember, your goal at that first meeting is to do what? Document, where you then can send them out, and then you give them permission. Say, look, sir, I just got involved with a new business. And because they're going to ask you, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I just got involved with a new business. It's an energy business. And then now you do the if I could, would you? Okay, the if I could, would you would come next. If I could show you how you could own and operate your own profitable business working with me in the energy business, would that be something that might be of interest to you, yes or no? And then you be quiet. Once you've got, if they say, well, yeah, I say, well, look, I don't have a lot of time right now. Let's just exchange information. Let's do this. I'll give you a call or shoot you a text or email with your permission. Would that be okay? Yes. And then you go down the cafeteria line at Bluebies or wherever you might be, or however you might met them at the barbershop, or you might have met them at the nail salon ladies. I don't know where you met them, but I do know that now you have a name and a phone number and a way to follow up with that person. And the person said, yes, they are a money motivated person. Now, whether they are truthfully a money motivated person, you're going to find that out. And how are you going to find it out? By picking up the phone and calling them again and asking them and repeating the question that you repeated the first time. Frank, remember me? I met you at the Luby's cafeteria at the donut shop. Yeah, I remember you. Well, if you remember correctly, the first time I ever talked to you, I asked you if you were money motivated. Are you still money motivated? Yes, I'm still money motivated. Okay, well, look, I'm going to send you a text. Got a video, short video. Can you watch that video? And then from there, I'd like to meet you at maybe a Starbucks there sometime in the near future. We could get together and spend some quality time. And I also have somebody else that's with my company that's been with the company for quite some time. This is where you bring in your third party, upline, sideline, or your significant some leader that you're working with to do a three-way conference call or a validation call with them. Now, Mir, I appreciate your patience in all of this because I know that we've got plenty of time here. We're not rushed. We got about 10 more minutes before we need to call. I wanted to get your insight, your input, and what you do to do cold market prospecting to help the people listening to the call be able to go out and get some new prospects.
Well, sir, this was an education call for me, sir. So there's never a wasted minute when I'm listening to you. So I appreciate you very much on training us on that approach there. That approach is the killer. Guys, for me, that approach took a long time to master. I started learning one thing. There was a national consultant, Kenny Smith. He used to teach us that money-motivated principle, where if you're money-motivated, that's one of the first things that you look for, is someone who is money-motivated or not. So for myself, I did not approach it in that sense because I went after businessmen or business people that were already kind of money motivated or they were successful, but they just never looked at network marketing as a viable option to make money. So to determine that part there, I would see how much time did they have or if they were looking for any type of time freedom. So, you know, business people are always busy. They're making money. They're going after big goals. They're having to have, you know, lofty, you know, plans for the yearly and the quarterly, you know, deadlines to meet or the money goals to meet. So they would never find the time for that recreation that Lane is talking about. So they would never find the time. So some of these guys, and like he's talking about, that he's meeting them in an off, either at a golf course or somewhere you're going fishing or somewhere you're going skiing. Are you meeting them there? So that allows them, you know, their money allows them that freedom to go do stuff. But most times what happens with most business people is that they work so hard that they forget that recreation or they forego that recreation. So my goal was to meet some of these people and then see whether I could get them to understand whether that business will allow them any time freedom. So like I said, network marketing gives you that time freedom. Network marketing allows you to have that time freedom because you're not developing the business by yourself. You're not doing it just by yourself. You recruit the right person. You help them grow to the next level and the next level. And suddenly you have a team of people. You have a group of many who are doing little. And then suddenly you have a massive amount of business coming in. And it doesn't require as much time or as much effort on your part. So most of those people that I was approaching, that was my key to them. Now it has changed. Now I approach certain, like Lane said, not everybody is going to be your potential consultant. Everybody can be a customer in a deregulated state, but not everybody was going to be a consultant. So I'm kind of selective about who I'm approaching, but I'm putting it out there to let them know that, hey, this is a viable option if you choose it, if you take a look at it, if you're receptive enough. I don't approach people if they're not receptive enough. If they show some receptiveness, means this, are they open to making additional income? Are they open to look at another way of making money? So because I lived in a non-deregulated state, I had to go to a deregulated state to start developing the business. Now, I went after very basic things where gas stations have these boards, those billboards boards on the back right by their bathrooms. Normally, gas stations have boards of cards. That's like a bulletin board filled with business cards there. So I would collect these business cards. And on my drive to Illinois, I would stop at like three or four gas stations and collect as many business cards as I could. That became my my, you know, 3x5 note card. That became my calling card for people. So I would call them up and say, hey, listen, I'm in your area. I found your business card. I know that you're looking to advertise or looking to increase your business. Would you have 5-10 minutes to talk on the phone? Do you have 5-10 minutes if I could visit? If I'm in your area, can I take 5 or 10 minutes to stop by and say hello and professionally introduce myself? So just by making that phone call, I would prospect them. And if they gave me that 5 minutes or 10 minutes of time on the phone there, I would see if I could invite them to take a look at the business or if I could meet with them for lunch. So I approached it a little bit differently, Lane, but I did get some good results out of it. I'm still getting good results. In my car, there's always about 20 business cards of different people. A few days ago, Robert Wooda, National Consultant Robert Wooda, came to have lunch with me, and I'm standing in front of his bulletin board in that restaurant, and we were going to eat lunch, and he says, Mir, what are you doing, prospecting at this time? Because, you know, I was waiting for him at the door, and during that time, I'm picking up some business cards there. So that habit has not left me. It's still there. And this ingrained habit that has happened, I'm still picking up business cards. So, Lane, just to give you an idea, in one and a half years' time frame, about 2 years, I would say, I picked up about 5,700 business cards from different gas stations. That was my prospecting tool. I didn't have to go anywhere else to find new prospects because that was always there. These people are already advertising. They're wanting more business. And why not give them an opportunity? Because they all use electricity. They all use natural gas. They could be at least my customer, if not my consultant.
I think that's a fabulous idea. I think it's absolutely a stroke of genius. I think it's something that that people should take advantage of. I'm so glad that you brought that up. I especially since you talked about the fact that you have people that are in areas that are they're not deregulated, and so therefore they're having to go into other territories. So I can see that as a wonderful way to catch some big fish. It's like you said, they're all already entrepreneurs. You already have their information. And then with the right approach, once again, we're back to the approach on the phone when you call them, and then from there, like you said, to follow up for those people that are interested and to learn that skill, to not be afraid of the phone. And so in ending tonight, what I want to do, I think let's just make another pretend here. And let's pretend like you have one of Mir's, business cards that he's picked up, or you have one of my 3x5 cards that you took from prospecting. Let's just pretend like I had a big old wheelbarrow full of cash, right? $100 bills. And I had it, all of them, 10 of them stacked in a stack that was $1,000 per stack. And I had a whole bunch of cash, okay? And I worked out a deal with you, and I said, look, in 72 hours, as many cards as you can get and make a phone call on and set an appointment, or as many prospecting 3x5 cards that you can make, that you've gotten their name, address, phone number, and you've sent them a text message to watch the video, and you followed up on them, and we verified that every one of those cards or 3x5 cards that you've done, whether you did it by making a phone call or off of prospecting cards, or whether you went actually toe-to-toe with people, I would give you, when you return those cards to me within 72 hours, that's the key, you have 72 hours to bring me back as many cards filled out as you can, and I'm going to pay you $1,000 per card. Now, think about that for just a second. Truthfully, if that was a real deal, how many cards would you get done? What would be the motivation? I mean, if you really thought about it that way, but here's the kicker. What you need to understand is that one of those cards that you filled out, that you brought back, is far more valuable than $1,000, because one person in our business that you sponsor into our business, or two or three over a period of time, is worth a whole lot more money, is it not, Mir, than $1,000? So I want you to trick your mind, because here's the big issue. You're not going to go out and get out of the car and do the prospecting that you need to do. on the flip side of that, I do a lot of times what I call the shopping method, where you write out, you know, in a 3x5 or in a notebook, call it a college 5-subject notebook, where you put $1 million at the top of the page there. Get you a yellow book, by the way, as an affirmation on your yellow jacket. Do it in big magic mark. Top, write out $1 million. And then make a list of all the materialistic things. I know we're talking about materialistic things now that you buy with money, which can be cars, furniture, appliances, electronics, watches, shoes, purses, swimming pools, anything you can think of that is materialistic that you may want to own. Go out and shop for those things that you want to own in life. If you had $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, wouldn't you go out and shop anyway? Well, what you're going to run across is a salesperson working retail with varicose veins waiting for you and your message, okay? Because they're working from 9 to 9, bell to bell. I used to do it back in the old days when I sold automobiles. I grew up in the car business as a very young kid. And so I spent many an hour waiting for somebody to bring me the message, bring me the story, bring me an opportunity, rather than me sitting there waiting for some prospect to come in. So once again, that approach is, as you go in, you take your college notebook as a consumer and be a genuine consumer. If you're looking for a Cadillac Escalade or a Navigator, you know, and you've decided, hey, those are the two cars that I like, go out and shop for the things that you want in life. Find out what color you want, what type of interior you want. Go and talk to the salesperson. If they came out and meeted and greeted you properly, here's what you tell them. Hey, I just got involved with a new company. It's an energy company, and it looks like I'm going to be coming into some money, and I've finally given myself permission to shop around to see what's out in the marketplace. Did you lie to that person? No, you just got involved with a new company. Hopefully, you're going to be coming into some money, and you're giving yourself, to be a consumer, the ability to go out and shop for the things you want. Now, what you're going to find is that half of the time you should be shopping for the car, deciding what you really want as a consumer. The other half of the time, you're breaking the ice, making a friend, finding common ground, analyzing the person, asking how many kids do they have, what school did they go to, where are they from, how long have they been selling cars, are they happy campers, or are they not happy campers? And from there, you're building that relationship with that person. And then when you get ready to leave, after you've looked at the sofa or the couch or the car or the watch or the purse or whatever you're shopping for, you tell them the truth. You say, look, if they treated you right and they treated you good as a salesperson, then you just tell them right up front, hey, you're underpaid, and you're not getting paid in direct proportion to your talent and ability here. Now's not the time, but here's my promise. If I ever buy an Escalade and it's a car that, based on what you've shared with me, I potentially could buy in the future, I will make you this promise. I'll give you a first shot at my business. But I want to just let you know that I'm very, very interested in finding out how we can go have a cup of coffee together, because and now's not the time, but I'd like to exchange information. Here's my business card. Let me get yours. And if with your permission, I'd like to call you back sometime and share with you how you can get paid in direct proportion to your talent and ability as a salesman, because this is basically a dead end street here. You're only getting paid by the sale. I have an opportunity through my company for you to get paid over and over again on something you did last week, last month, and last year, called energy. And if that's something that might be of interest to you, you know, I'd really like to see you in the future if that's possible. Also, we'll put your name down here at the top of the list as somebody who's treated me very well as a customer and give you the first shot at my business. Is that a deal? And so you're not pitching them. You're not trying to sell them anything except yourself and the opportunity for them maybe to get together. And believe me, there are people on their hands and knees in their closet praying, you know, thinking, Lord, please relieve me from this job. You know, send somebody to me in my life that can help me to be successful and to get me out of this rut, which is what a rut is. That's a grave with the ends kicked out. So ultimately what I'm saying here is that you have a gift that you're giving people. Give those people the gift. Go out and give yourself, but you have to be motivated. You have to motivate yourself by the things that you're, by your list, by your dreams list and the goals that you want to accomplish. And you have to have faith, belief, and conviction in the company, product, and service. And that comes from the knowledge that you're getting And the people that you surround yourself with in Ambit, both Mir and I have been with the company a very, very long time. You know, I mean, collectively, we've been in the company almost over, well, I know you've been, what, 12 or 15 years. How long have you been with the company, Mir?
13 years, sir. 13 years.
So 13 and 17, so collectively almost 30 years between both of us, right? That's a lot of time. That means that we didn't hop around. We didn't go from this company to that company looking at this or that or whatever. I mean, we stuck with Ambit Energy because it is a real company and something you can put and invest your future in. And that is so critical that you understand that. That way, when you get up in the morning, you're not feeling like you're, you know, representing some fly-by-night company, some here today and gone tomorrow company. It's going to be there for you, for your family, for your future. And I think that's so much that we should be proud of. So you've got a whole bunch of good stuff between myself and Mir tonight. Do you want to let me – I want to send it back to you, Mir, and then I'm going to wrap it up.
So I don't know what else I can add, sir.
Okay, cool. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up, sir.
Everybody needs to go to their Power Zone. Make sure that you understand the current promotions. We have many different promotions that are going on, which are the regular promotions for consultants, which are, of course, the Ambit Ultimate Perks promotion, the Community Solar Double Play. And then, of course, if you attended both through video, through in person, we have the attendee-only promotions, which is the CAB Triple Play, and, of course, the Jumpstart Home Run, which is absolutely like a home run out of the park. If you're taking advantage of that, you can print out all the PDF files there to be able to study that and take advantage of it. You know, also keep in mind, we've got Community Solar Expansion into Rhode Island. And then, of course, you know, the good thing about it is the Ambit Ultimate Perks in California is going to be happening here as well. And then, of course, the Total Solar Buyback, which is pretty cool, as well as Texas, soon to have Sunrun. That's going to be a big one for us in Texas to come. So all of the stars are aligned, if you will, for us to come out, which we have out of kickoff, going into Ambition and really doing some big things. So don't miss out. Mir, I cannot begin to thank you enough for being on the call tonight. And I really appreciate you and your leadership and what you've done for the field over the years, all of the things that you have accomplished in your professional career with Ambit, and how you will, you're always blind to downline, always willing to help other people. You absolutely delivered the goods at kickoff, and I really enjoyed your speech there, and I look forward to hearing you again as we move forward towards the big event, the Big Kahuna Ambition 2024.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for being
sir.
Such an asset to Ambit Energy. We have so much to learn from you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's such an honor to be with Lane Winsett every Sunday night, learning from him.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you for what you've shared as well. So I'm going to open up the call and give Mir a big shout out. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Lane and Mir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to be just like you guys.
Thank you.